welcome to Wise Guys Incorporated Radio again.
Please leave your message for 347-720-9815.
Okay, you're listening.
Just so you know, we're live on the air. We just figured we'd leave you a message while we're live. So if you can get around to it, give us a call back, okay?
Thank you. Very good, Billy. Get along. Anyway, we're trying to get our guests, as you could probably tell, but you're listening to us on 107.7 FM New Orleans, United Public Radio, and my two wonderful co-hosts who put up with all my BS, Billy Cotolo. Hello, Billy.
Smoking Hello, John. How are you, my friend? How's everything today?
He's smoking that $100 Havana cigar. And my good friend, Nick Christophers. How you doing, Nicky boy?
All right, man. Good.
What are you smoking?
I wish I was smoking something.
Well, most of you know who Nick and Billy are, but for the new listeners, Billy was in the Colombo crime family. We had a whole first show on him, and he was son of Bill Cotolo Sr., known as Wild Bill, who was the acting boss and underboss of the Colombo crime family. Bill was a soldier, very active, top-notch mafioso, I guess, you know. So Billy's the real deal, man. You don't get much higher than him unless you get a boss on, and I don't think a boss is going to come on. So Billy's right up there. Nick's just delivered a pizza for me. No, I'm just kidding. I was picking on Nick. Nick Christopher seems like he knows every mafia guy. He grew up in Queens and Brooklyn. He knows almost every mafia guy you mentioned. He'll know him, had drinks with him. He wrote a really famous book with John Alight called Prison Rules. He wrote a book on the Greek Mafia. He's writing a book with our own Billy, right? You guys coming out with a book. Nick's very fantastic. His books are wonderful. And I don't know who I am, so we'll skip over me. I'm just here, probably from another dimension. And I'm a retired university professor, and I'm a Sicilian. How's that? Does that qualify me? Anyway, our guest today, if we can get her, is she on or not? We didn't get her yet, did we? Angela Cavalcanti, who was one of the stars of the HBO series I Married a Mobster, and she's got a fantastic story. She grew up in the Queens area near Howard Beach. She knew the Gottis. She knew a lot of the people there. She went to the club. So we hope we can get the, we had her on and then got disconnected. So we're hoping Joe, the owner and program manager of the station's trying to reach her. So what we'll do is we'll just have some fun until she comes on. How's that sound? Okay. So maybe Nick can take it over first. You got any good news, Nick? Anything going on in your life?
Anything going on in my life? What?
I don't know
about that one. Well, I was thinking about a subject area that we really haven't touched upon too much, really. Is a lot of people I think would wonder, but why would, you know, guys like Billy and other co-hosts, other guests that we had, when they're not doing things for the crew, how do they spend their time? What do they do? I'm sure people wondering, you know, do they do what every ordinary person does? Like, how do they function? Because they both, most of them live double lives. They live a street life and a family life.
That's a good question.
What's the family life of a wise guy? I think a lot of people would be curious about that. And I'm sure Billy can shed a light on it.
Well, look, we're chameleons. We know how to adapt. I was one of the type of guys that I used to check my ego, my attitude, and everything at the door. So when I walked in through my door, my wife and my son were just that, my wife and my son, my personal family, who I love to the moon and back, who I will die for. But I think we would always have something that on the legitimate side, something where we're grabbing a paycheck, something where we could show the government that we're making money, we're paying out taxes. It could range from anything. It can range for somebody like me. I started out in the hotel business at the Gregory Hotel, which my dad was partners with this gentleman by the name of Joe Picchio. And this guy, Joe Picchiolo, was an old timer. He was in his 80s 20 years ago. But this guy, Joe, my dad's partner, was very close to Frankie Yale, Johnny Torrio. And sitting with that man, let me tell you something. Stories like you can't believe. But, you know, that was my full-time job. I've made, at the time, about $1,500 a week I was bringing home. So it was a nice little stipend every month, you know, between $5,000 and $6,000. And then I had a prepaid phone card business that it was all, you know, on the up and up. We formed a corporation for it. There was a couple other things that we had going on too. We had a Russian deal, out of Manhattan with, Vinny Ocean Palermo from the, DiCavalcanti family. He was the boss at the time.
Oh yeah.
And we were working on a Russian deal, with these special kind of call boxes is what they were called, where, let's say if I wanted to call, let's say Italy from here, they might charge me $6 a minute. So we came up with this box where I would make the call would go into that box, and then reverse the call from Italy back to New York, where the charges were a lot cheaper, maybe like 50 cents a minute. So and then, you know, of course you got your Shylock book and stuff like that, and your bookmaking. But yeah, we always had to have, according to my dad, we all had to have something legit on paper. I mean, that was like something for him that we all had to do it. There was nobody that couldn't get away with it. Even my dad, he had plenty of jobs on paper. So, that's what we do. Billy, and then, you know, yes.
Didn't your father, I know your dad, your grandfather actually, a restaurant or deli or something like that in Brooklyn that your father, the burger place, and your father actually was working with your grandfather for a little bit. That's before he went on the street, am I correct?
Well, he was working there when he got on the street. My dad was on the street since the age of like 14, 15 years old. But he used to work at a place, it's called Zeke's now. I mean, they might have changed it. But back in the day when my dad's father had it, it was called the Burger Prince. My dad used to flip burgers over there. He used to work for his father. And his father didn't want him in the life. He couldn't stay in the life. Guys used to come there all the time. Guys like Greg Scarpa used to go there to hang out. And a few other guys. I don't want to throw anybody else under the bus. But my dad got to meet a lot of wise guys, you know, in that setting. But his father, like I said, kept those guys at arm's length. And they respected my grandfather for that. So when my dad decided to get involved in the street, his father...
Please leave your message for 347-720-981.
Billy... Question real
so
quick.
Did you get to, you know, we're not calling you back.
Yeah, Billy, did you get to keep the money that you made legitimate, or did that have to go into the pot of the street money that you gave a cut to?
No, your legit money goes in your pocket.
Okay.
You know, nobody touches that. It depends. If you're looting the pension fund out of a union, then that belongs to the family. But as far as anything else goes, any type of jobs that you did on paper, that money, you know, goes into your pocket and it goes to your family.
Well, your father was big in the union, right? He was very active in the union.
Yes, he was. Nick, I'm sorry, you were saying?
No, I was mentioning your dad, speaking of legit money, and to add to what John was asking you, is your dad was very big on charity, and he did charity work, where the money that was earned was directed to the charity. People pocketing some money, which so even that was legit, per se.
Yes, all my dad's charities were on the up and up. He sat on the board for the National Leukemia Association. He belonged to Angel Guardians for the Elderly, Battered Women and Children. And a few other things, they escape me right now, but those were the three main ones. And, he never mixed his mob life with his charitable work. In Leukemia Association, he did have a couple of friends that were involved, like Vinny Riccardi. But Vinny Riccardi, again, he was another gentleman, a wise guy, but another gentleman that believed wholeheartedly in the charity. And he worked very closely with my dad, and so did I. My dad sat with doctors, and we would go to, let's say, monthly meetings out in Garden City. So that's where the main office was held for the National Leukemia Association. And I remember sitting there when I was younger, when he first started bringing me around, I could not get over how my dad was able to sit with these type of people, legitimate people, and have these conversations about something so serious and near and dear to his heart, that he was hell-bent on finding the cure for leukemia. Matter of fact, one of the first people that had gotten involved with us when we got involved with National Leukemia was the original girl from Annie. I don't know if you guys know who that girl was. She had some voice, but she was someone that was stricken with leukemia. And throughout the time that my dad was a part of it, she went into remission. And I can't tell you how this girl loved my dad. She didn't want to hear anything about his outside life. All she knew and what she cared about was being part of the National Leukemia Association. Yeah. And,
well, this is what I wanted to ask you. How did the people your dad worked with, like on a legitimate basis, like the, you know, the foundations, did they know he was a boss of the Colombo crime family, or did they not know? Or, I mean, what was the reactions?
Some did, some didn't. I guess a lot of people did find out down the line. It was very difficult to be involved with someone that was involved, let's say, with the Teamsters or any union at that time. And being Italian, so people pass judgment, you know, people start to assume, but my dad wasn't one to run or hide from his past. My dad was proud of his past, and he was also proud of letting people know, hey, look, I'm not here to rob you, you know, I'm here to help. And even the churches, my main church where I was christened, I was baptized, christened, confirmed, all in the same church, and St. Thomas Aquinas on Flatbush Avenue in Brooklyn.
Oh, yeah.
And my dad did so much for that church. I like, even around Thanksgiving time and Christmas time, my dad would have like a big 18-wheeler truck roll up to the church, and it was packed up to the gills with turkeys. All the canned foods you could possibly think of, you know, and that was just for the families who didn't have the money, I guess, to put a Thanksgiving dinner together for their family.
Oh,
so
nice. Beautiful. So, yeah. Nick, did you know Bill Sr.?
No, I wish I did. I know guys around him, which was ironic, because when I told Billy, the guys I know, he's like, get the hell out of here. It was just weird that we knew the same people. But we didn't, you know, we didn't meet, which is odd. But I wanted to add to something that Billy said.
Yeah.
And this is from the public. To the public, when Billy's father did such things, and a lot of other guys in the life do similar things. Like Carlo Gambino, back in the day, he built a whole children's wing in a hospital in Manhattan.
Really? I didn't know that.
But a lot of people say that guys like, you know, like Carlo, like Bill Sr., they do this, do these kind of nice things to try to, people will say this, I'm not saying this, people say this, and they're trying to cover up or try to hide, you know, who they really are, and they do this just for show,
or
maybe even for guilt,
or to hide money,
things of that nature. Now, for Billy, when you hear things like that, how do you react to something like that?
I can give you a very good example. And this was not too long ago. This was with my eldest son, William III. I don't know if someone sent him something or he was reading something. And he had turned around at one point and said on the phone, I think it was me, my wife, and him on the call. And he said something along the lines like, what do you think? I didn't know that the pop was washing his money through the charities. And that I got bent. I got really bent. You know, I just looked at him like, first of all, don't talk about something that you don't know what you're talking about. That's A. I says, B, I says, your grandfather's charities that he belonged to, every penny that was raised went directly to the charity. My dad didn't even want to touch any of the money. Mm. You know, he would make people write checks on purpose. The only thing that I could say that my dad did that was a little bit, if I could use the term loosely, forceful, was selling tables. You know, let's say there's a table of 10, they were selling it for 200 a plate. So my dad would turn around and say, so how many tables am I putting you down for? And the guy would turn around and say, well, I can't make it. That No, you're going to make it. How many tables can I put you down for? Bill, really, you don't understand. No. So seriously, how many tables? Two tables? All right, that's going to be about 4,000. Make sure you have the money next week. You know.
That was recently, like with John Gotti and some of the more recent bosses, did they do the same thing? Did they have charities that they sponsored, or is it more like the old timers who had the heart more for that?
You want to answer that, Billy, or me?
No, you could go ahead, Nick. Go ahead.
Oh, it's all good. You can answer too, because if you have another idea. With John Sr., what he used to do, I'm not sure so much about charities, but every year on July 4th, he threw a kick-ass party. He would close up those blocks in Howard Beach, and he would give the neighbors a big July 4th party. Huge.
Wow.
Forget about it.
Did you go to one of those?
Yeah, I did. He did that, like, his way of giving back to, not really giving back to the neighborhood, but he did it to get them on his side. I mean, when he would go try to show the public, forget about the Gotti's boys, the people themselves told the cops to leave, just to give you an idea. But he did it to gain favor, a little bit different than what Billy's father did. So, you know, if Billy wants to answer it, go ahead.
One thing about, you know, with John, we'll talk about the 4th of July stuff. John did a lot of that to give the finger to the FBI because, he knew he was not supposed to be shooting fireworks off because they were illegal, obviously. So, he would do it at the behest of himself. I don't even know. I can't tell you if all the people in the neighborhood approved of it. That I can't say. I did go to one. And I think when I went down, my dad got pissed that I went because he didn't want me to be seen by the FBI. I will tell you one quick thing, and this is just a little bit unrelated to the charities. When John was on trial, I think the next day they were supposed to be rendering the verdict. And my dad had made about 30 of us or 40 of us go down there by the courthouse and to make sure we were standing outside and stuff like that. Me, I was told to stay home. I was not allowed to go. But I don't know if you guys ever seen the videos of when they convicted John.
Oh, you did. I did.
Yeah. There's one kid that's standing on the roof of a police car and he's jumping down. Yeah. Well, that particular kid, Jerry, used to work for us down at the club.
Oh, you're kidding.
Yeah. I guess we were supposed to be down there for support, but it didn't turn out that way. It turned out where there was yelling and screaming and fighting. And obviously, you know, John got convicted. And then the reporters were there trying to ask different people different questions. And that was the reason why I was told to stay home. But as far as John with the charities go, look, every gangster I could think of off the top of my head did something somewhere along the lines for charity. The only thing I can say is that I don't know if their heart was in it the same way my dad's was, because I wasn't there. I wasn't privy to conversations about it. So I'm not going to go out on a limb and say that it was fraudulent or not heartfelt or anything like that. So, but anytime anything comes you know, down to charity. Look, just because we're wise guys and in the street, look, we have this saying that we only kill each other, or we only hurt one another, meaning only people in the life. And we both know, all three of us know, that that's not true.
That's not true, yeah.
That's not true at all. But again, but as far as the charities go, my dad, you know, it was 1,000% on the up and up.
I got to ask you this, and I was 50-50 whether I really wanted to bring it up or not, but it's part of history, is that when John Gotti's neighbor, you know, ran over his kid, and then the guy disappeared. Can you shed any light on that? What happened? I mean, the guy disappeared. They never found him, right? And
Nick, do you want to say it, or do you want me to say it?
But what's the question again, John? What happened to him? Is that the question?
Well, we're pretty sure John probably said, take care of the guy. And I just thought that was kind of sad because the guy had a family. He didn't do it intentionally. It was, I assume nothing ever came of that, right? In the investigation, they never found him.
I believe that John Sr., who was in Florida at the time that I got abducted. Honestly, I don't think John Sr. really had anything to do with it, meaning giving it. I don't think so. I think his, look at Billy Face. I think his crew, Sammy possibly, or maybe Jackie, one of them, Amico. I think one of them maybe decided to do this to gain favor with John.
I find that hard to believe that he didn't know about it, but that's my opinion.
I don't know that he actually did.
Nick, you're having trouble with your phone. Billy, are you having trouble with Nick's phone?
Yeah.
I don't know. You keep breaking up a little, Nick, but what do you think?
Can you hear me?
Yeah, it's just you keep breaking up. I don't know if there's anything you can do, but don't worry about it. Do you think Billy, John knew about it?
Yes, 1,000%. John made sure he was in Florida when it happened. But I am going to tell you this. I don't know who knows it or who don't. And forgive me, everybody, for what I'm about to say. John's wife was not able to deal with the fact that her son got killed. And that's the mother.
I can understand that.
Boy. Yes.
Sure. Yeah, that's true.
She kept putting pressure on John. You're not going to do nothing about it. Like, he killed our son, so on and so forth. And this is the way it was brought to me, is that not only was John pissed about it, obviously it's his son, but John knew it was an accident as well. But once John's wife started, like, hammering away at him day in and day out about it, I think John just had enough of it. And it was just like, you know what? Just go snatch the guy up, pull up in a van, throw him in the back of the van, and... You know,
who knows what happened to his body, right? I mean,
I'm sure it's chopped up in a million pieces.
You know, it's funny because of all the mob stories, like you say, when this killing within the mob, and like you said, you chose the life. These people chose the life. So it was this, you know, you could be taken out by your best friend after a sit down or something, as something you, but a stranger, and especially an accident, that really kind of broke my heart because I have kids and thinking, you know, accidents happen, and the guy was in the wrong place at the wrong time, and it's unfortunate. And did he have a family with kids too? That
John
guy?
Ferraria.
He did.
Yeah.
And that's sad.
Well, that's not the first time, really. I mean, not the same exact situation, but Billy would know about this a lot because during the war, there was one or two innocent victims of the war. One guy got mistaken for somebody else. This guy Guido, he got mistaken for.
He just had the same name.
It was in a car. Mm-hmm. He was in a car with his uncle or father or something like that, and they pulled up
Christmas.
And shot him.
Yeah, it was Christmas.
Right.
Well, was this the Colombo Wars? Is Nick referring to?
Yeah, exactly. Oh. That's what I'm saying. Better even more than I think.
Yeah, and then the other kid that got hit was the kid in the bagel shop. And that happened. And that happened right across the street from where my wife lived.
Oh, really?
Right across the street, yeah.
Well, you know, you got to realize, obviously, everyone does that, whether it's war or mafia war or whatever, there's going to be innocent casualties. It's just the nature of the business. And it's unfortunate.
I was in the area that night. I was there.
Oh, really? Really?
Yeah. I was by my wife's house. She was my girl at the time. But I remember coming down the steps, and I remember seeing, you know, sirens wailing. And then I'm saying, thinking to myself that, because, you know, I was zipped over many times by the FBI with rifles at my head. So I'm like, oh, maybe they know I'm by my girl's house. Maybe they're just waiting for me to come down the block. But no, then it turned out when I asked one of the neighbors what happened, and they just told me that a kid in a bagel shop got killed. And I believe they mistook this kid for this guy by the name of BF Guerra. And BF was a very, 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 very close friend of Alley Boys. So when they shot this kid, they knew right away. Chris Liberatore was the kid who shot him. And from what I understand, they knew right away that they fucked up. They ran out, and we had to wind up hiding Chris for a while, and the father, Chris's father. And my dad definitely, I can tell you this, was not happy at all. Mm. So.
Wow.
Going back to what John,
I can't hear you, Nick.
Like, hear me now?
You keep getting cut off. I guess there's nothing we can do now, but it's like something choppy. It could be your internet system or your. Are you on a cell phone, right?
Or yeah, there's an issue with a computer.
Yeah, I don't know what it is, but it just keeps cutting. Go ahead. I didn't mean to interrupt, but I was hoping something you could.
Can you hear me? Can you hear me at all?
We can hear you, but like it's, you know, it's gurgling.
Kind of choppy. Well, let me ask you this, Billy. Well, maybe yes. Nick can see what's going on there.
Yes.
I get a lot of questions about this because on my show and even on my other show, Science and Beyond, when I had John Alight on and you telling your story and others, I know Michael Franzese has his show. People say that when you get immunity, you know, when you I guess go queen for a day or whatever you want to call it, and you give the information for immunity. How are you protected? What can you say? What can't you say? Do you get a carte blanche now that you could kind of say anything without being prosecuted?
I'm going to answer you flat out honestly. I don't know, because I can tell you this: I'm not going to get on our show. And I'm not going to talk about that I shot this guy or I shot that person or I beat that guy up. And, you know, for me, you know, I don't want to put that out there. I don't know what the government can come back and hit you with.
That's now, a good point. Yeah.
For somebody like John Alight, I don't know. I mean, John has bodies on him, I'm guessing. So I don't know what kind of coverage you're going to get from the government when it comes to murder. So, but don't forget also, John Alight put in a lot of time, you know, inside. So, you
well,
know,
and he cooperated well, really, too, didn't he?
Yes,
I mean, so
yes,
he would testified. Deserve to have that. So, I mean, that's my understanding, but I was just curious of the details of it's probably individual, right? With each person, depending on what they do. And
I mean, think about it. I mean, you're going to have, sorry, Nick, you're going to have, you know, families of the victims that, you know, are going to be besides themselves to know that, hey, I know that this person killed my son or my brother or my husband. And now we have to, like, look at him on social media or on television doing a show. Look, I could use myself as an example. I'm sure there are a shit ton of people that are probably not happy with what I'm doing, but I do know, like we talk about each week in and week out, that we're doing this for the positivity of it.
Exactly.
We're not doing this to try to push the life.
Right.
But as far as, like you said, about being covered for murders, I don't know, guys.
Well,
you know,
Billy, is it true, from what I understand? I hope you guys can hear.
Go ahead.
What I understand, there's no statute of limitations for murder. Am I correct?
Yeah. Murder, it could be a murder from 40 years ago, and they could still hit you with it.
Really?
If you did something like credit card fraud or, I don't know, anything, bookmaking, you know, that shit's going to fall off after X amount of years. But murder, capital, no, that never leaves. So, you know, they could find the guy. You could be 90 years old and they could find the guy that's been dead for 50 years. And if they have your DNA or they have rats, you know, saying, hey, yeah, it was him, you ain't going to beat that.
Yeah, I just hope I haven't had anybody on my shows that got in trouble because of talking about, you know, what's not my fault. I didn't, you know.
Yeah. I mean, look, John shares. I'm sorry, Nick. Go ahead.
No, I'm sorry. I apologize. Well, commenting on what you're saying, Billy, it's interesting because many years ago, Sammy was did a TV show.
Yeah.
Many moons ago when he first decided to, and what made me laugh at this.
Wait, are you talking about the interview or are you talking about a show?
No, not, I'm sorry, It wasn't an interview direct with him.
Okay.
It was an interview with what you just mentioned. With individuals who love their father or their brother. And Sam was, you know, the shooter, so to speak. And what I found funny, and not that I didn't feel for these people, because I did, but what I found interesting is that the certain individuals that were, you know, mentioning or complaining or making, you know, their thoughts open on TV, their fathers were in the line. So it was something to be, you know, something. How about them? Didn't they take somebody out at one point? So it made me, I looked at it as they're somewhat hypocritical. I
missed a lot of that. Billy,
could
you sum that up a little, maybe, if you caught more than I did? The audio is really bad, Nick. No, it just keeps getting cut off, and we're trying to piece it together, I guess, you know.
Goes in and out, Nick.
Well, let me ask you this, Billy. Yeah, maybe why don't you try to restart your computer? Oh no, then you get disconnected. That's not gonna work. Well, one question about that. I hope we could get Sammy on our show sometime because I think he's got a unique story because a lot of people look at him like, you know, as a rat and turned against Gotti. But what I heard was everybody turned against him. And let's face it, if everybody who was my friends and I supported and turned against me, I don't have any loyalty anymore to them. And I'm going to say, hey, all right, well, then I'm going to turn. So that's why I'd like to get him on, because I think he's gotten a bad rap in the public. Because I know whenever his name is brought up, it's usually something negative. And I don't want to defend him because I don't know the story, but that's one of the reasons. I know you know him, and one of the reasons I would love to get him on, so to kind of set the story straight. I mean, if we're buddies and you rat on me, hell, I owe you no loyalty. I'm going to save my ass, and that's right. The way I understand it. And so I think he deserves a little more respect than people have been giving him, you know?
Yeah, well, see, a lot of people, you know, they know most parts of the story, but they don't know the whole story. But the main thing that led Sammy to do what he did is, look, tapes don't lie. So when the government came and played those tapes for Sammy, you know, saying that Sammy had to take the weight for the family, meanwhile, John was looking to, you know, keep himself completely clean, trying to say that Sammy, hey, look, for instance, if this guy doesn't agree with us on a business level, Sammy just kills him. Like, what the fuck's this guy doing? And look, we've had this conversation before. We don't just go out and kill people. You know, If we're told to do something, that's different. And I can guarantee you this, 1,000%, maybe one or two, but 1,000%, most of those guys that had to be put down were put down at the behest of John. So when the government comes back and plays a tape for you and you hear your boss taking a shit on your head and you put the fucking Gambino family, you know, in the stratosphere money-wise, you know, to me, that ain't cool. But I will say this, and I'm not speaking for Sammy. This is my take.
Sure.
The same way that they had to kill Paul Castellano because they had to act before Paul did. If I were Sammy and I was in his position at that time, and I can be a Monday morning quarterback today, you know that now because it's history.
Sure.
But I think I would have killed John. I think that's what would have had been done. Sammy probably would have stepped up and took the reins, and Sammy would have been good at running that family. I can guarantee you that. You know.
Yeah. Can you guys hear me now?
Much better. Whatever you did, perfect. Can you comment on that, Nick? What Bill just said?
Well, I just want to go back to what I was saying earlier. That you guys couldn't hear what Billy mentioned before.
Yeah.
It's in reference to Sammy, actually, and how I saw a show one time a while back after Sammy flipped that a bunch of people that had fathers or brothers that Sammy put down, and they complained or bitched that Sammy's no good, he's a rat, and that they wanted some kind of reprisal. Meantime, their fathers or brothers were in the life. And I find it very hypocritical because their fathers or brothers probably put somebody else down at one time or another. Right. So I'm mad at Sammy when your parent, your brother or father were in the same line of work. It doesn't, that's like, doesn't make sense. You know?
Right.
So good point.
Like you said, John, before, that Sammy's getting a bad rap for doing what he needed to do. You know, I say the same for Johnny Alight. He needed to do what he needed to do.
Yeah. Well, remember, John's story was John was in prison in, I think, Brazil, because then they extradited him. And when he came back and he kept his mouth shut, he found out everybody turned against him. So he had no choice. And I respect him. He had to save himself. And I agree, you know, and I think that's true in life. You show loyalty as long as somebody is loyal to you.
Look, guys, you know? I'm going to share this with you. And this, for me, is not a fucking secret. I know the general public look at rats as rats. There's no different categories when it comes to ratting. We look at it this way. If your name pops up in a 302, you're a rat. That's how we used to look at it. But I will say this. If I'm going out and I'm making money for the family. And if I don't bring in money, you're going to call me in and say, hey, what the fuck are you doing? Why aren't we making money? Why are you broke? Why are you not turning money in? So we go out, we start doing things. If people don't agree with what we're trying to do, you know, sometimes push has to come to shove. But you're never ever going to hear about a guy killing another guy in the life because he felt it was his personal right or option to do away with somebody's life. And just so you know, the life don't work that way. It has to come from the top. Not only does it have to come from the top, but 9 times out of 10, it has to go through the commission. And that's, you know, the panel of the other 4 families. So it's kind of like what they did with Paul. They never got clearance to kill Paul Castellano, you know, but John knew that it needed to be done because it was going to be him or Paul. So Paul, they acted first and they did what they needed to do.
And wasn't Paul under indictment too and everything? So it was like they want to kind of clear him out. So it was a combination of John wanting to take over and whatever. That's interesting. I got a quick question about I thought like a capo regime or an underboss or boss could give the okay for a hit, but you're telling me it has to go to the commission, to the 5 families usually. That's interesting. That
you gotta think your shit. Nick used the word hypocritical. You used the word hypocritical. And for many years, I'll be flat out honest with you guys and whoever's listening to us. I was hypocritical for a long time. You know, when it's your father, your brother, someone close to you, you can't help but be hypocritical. You know damn well that your dad put down guys. You know that your dad put other sons in the same position as you. Just because he was never tried and convicted of it doesn't mean it didn't happen. So it took many years for me to realize that I was being very hypocritical about what happened to my father. Not only that, but I feel in a lot of ways I was misled, you know, due to my grief and trying to mourn him. I was very soft. When I say soft, I don't mean soft in a man's way. I mean it's soft where I was very sensitive to any conversation or anything when someone would say, hey, well, you know, this guy, he had to give the okay, or this guy, you know, Billy, he definitely had to have his hand in it. So it's stuff like that, especially when you're going through a raw time, that those hypocritical feelings, you try to like push them out of your mind.
Sure.
But like I said to you, it took many years for me to realize that I was being very hypocritical. Look, my dad's not here anymore. I can't bring him back, but he was who he was. My dad was a diehard gangster. You know, I can't change that. The only thing I do, as I try to do, is just to express my condolences to all the families that my dad may have afflicted in a harmful way, just to let them know that, hey, he was my dad, but I am not my dad. So if I am saying sorry, I am saying sorry for him and for myself as well, especially in today's day.
That's nice. Nick, I wanted to ask you, could you maybe make a statement about our kind of purpose here? We've got to make sure we reiterate that on each show, that like we're really here to help people, warn people not to go into this life, you know? Mm-hmm. Maybe you want to comment on that, Nick? That we're not here for sensationalism. Okay.
Can you guys hear me?
Yes.
Can you guys hear me?
Yes.
Yes, you're okay now. Yeah.
Okay, good. To hop on what John just said. Yes, we do. Our purpose here is to try to encourage people, young people especially, who are hopefully listening, that the life is not the way to go, that it's not a rewarding life, regardless of what you see on TV. It's very short-lived, the whole hype. And it's better to try to find a way to make money legitimately, because prison life or ending up six feet under is never a good way to go.
No. And especially if you're somebody that knows deep down in your heart, you have to be honest with yourself. If you don't think that you could do the time, you know the saying, if you can't do the time, you don't do the crime. And, you know, these younger kids today, they don't think of these things first. I think, to me, today, I think rats are born. They're born today. I think that they're going to go out and try to make as much money as they can by any means necessary. And then they know as soon as they get caught, they're going to flip.
Yeah.
So,
you know, before we run out of time, I'm not sure how much time I want to give out contact information, and I'd like Nick to plug his books. But the best way to contact me, I'm very active on Facebook, just John DeSalvo, Maple Lake. I also have a website, but we also have a Facebook page of Wise Guys Radio. And boy, that's really growing. So Billy and Nick, maybe you can just give out, if you want to give out contact information, or they can contact me and I can pass it on to you, Billy, if somebody wants.
Sure. Mine is very simple. I'm on Instagram at Bill Cutolo, BILLCUTOLO. I've been getting a ton of beautiful, beautiful comments and feedback from a lot of people.
Nice.
Even people who are still active. And it's nice to hear, like I said to you earlier, that there's no different categories of rats. But with that being said, I think a lot of people can understand why I, just for me, why I did what I did, because it was my father. It was a little bit different for me. It was very personal. But the main thing was that I did not give up any of my friends. You know, anything that the FBI was able to ask me, I didn't know. I, if you ask me, hey, do you know if this guy robbed the bank? I don't know. And don't ask me questions about my friends because I'm not going to answer them. So I am here for one reason and one reason only, to find out what happened to my father. And that's where I drew the line. So for everybody that's listening, I just want to make sure that I put that out there. But again, it's at Bill Cotolo on Instagram. Hit John up on Facebook if you have any questions and comments. Everything gets over to me. Nick?
Yeah, Nick, could you go ahead and maybe mention some of your books, too, and contact information?
Well, contact information is pretty simple. It's nickchristophers50@gmail.com. You can just put Nick Christophers in Google. You'll find me all over the place. And my books, there's a few. I got 4 books out on Amazon. Just look up my name. You'll see all the different books I have out there. And, you know, I'm easy to find. I'm on Facebook, too, Twitter, Instagram. Nick Christophers. It's pretty easy.
And his books are really good. And I treasure your signed copy where it says, if you make fun of me again, I'm going to put a hit on you. But besides that, No, Nick's really a great writer. And he talks about, you know, one of his books is about the Greek mafia. It gives you a whole new perspective organized crime is not just Italian. And but Prison Rules with John Alight, really a classic book, I think. And now I can't wait till you guys come out with your book. That is going to blow people away.
Forget it. It'll be on the New York Times bestseller list. I guarantee you that.
I'm sure it will be. Just knowing a little bit inside of what's going into that. So I don't know how much time we have. If Joe is, I know we started late.
Joe got about a minute.
Okay. Well, let me say goodbye to all the listeners and say we'll be here every Saturday, and we'll be here next Saturday. We'll have a special guest. We'll have all go and look and find our past shows on the archives and on our Facebook page. I have links to all our old shows, and a lot of them we have famous mobsters and people that tell their story. And Angela said she was having trouble with her phone, so we'll try to get her on again in the future.
I want to say a couple of things. The Mob Museum, thank you.
Yes, thank you.
The Boston Guido, thank you. Hey, if you get a chance, look up Family Secrets Mob Tours. Follow my friend Frank Calabrese. You guys will not be disappointed. Frank's got a beautiful story as well. And we're very close, and we're working on something that's very intimate. You might have seen a little bit about it on Instagram, but again, it was just a...
We got to get Frank on again because we had a little trouble with that show. Yes. So let's get a date for Frank. And Nick, any last words before we close out here? Maybe you can do the closing remarks.
Well, I'd just like to thank everybody for listening in. And please check in with us on Facebook, Twitter, so forth. And leave us any comments or any suggestions or anything you want to ask Billy or me or even John, who doesn't know that very much, but that's okay.
Yeah, we'd love to hear that. No, thank you, brothers. This was fun. I look forward to this every week. And thank you, listening audience. Ciao. See you next week.
Take care.
Hello, is someone being probed by extraterrestrials here? Please, if this is a true emergency,